Turn with me to your Bible, to Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Here in Joshua's last days of his life, we find Joshua challenging the people of Israel why they ought to serve the Lord. And the occasion we find in chapter 24 is that he gathers all Israel to Shechem. And the Bible says, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and called for their heads and called for the judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. Remember, in Shechem, earlier in the book of Joshua, that whole nation gathered at Shechem. And now Joshua is giving the people of Israel the historical perspective or a historical reason why they need to follow God, why they need to serve God, why they should follow God, not the gods of Israel, of Canaan, not the gods of Egypt, not the gods of the nations, but the living God, creator of heaven and earth. And so, first of all, he gives them a historical perspective. And so, beginning verse 2, and Joshua said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood, that is the Euphrates, in old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land in Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac." Now, he's giving them the history of their nation. And, of course, that history starts with Abraham. Now, if you think about it, how does Abraham fit in? Remember, Abraham in the Bible fits in the fact that at the Tower of Babel, all the people spoke one language. And because the people spoke one language, they were able to rebel as a whole against God. And you kind of think of it, you think about the world today. The world, there's mass communication. And there's a mass communication via internet, via music, via these type of things. And we see that the world, because of this ability to interact worldwide, we find a greater and greater rebellion against God. But of all the nations that rebelled against God, and God judged the nations and gave them different languages, God chose to take a man, one man, Abraham, and he chose to raise up a new nation, a nation out of that one man. And you know, God desired that he would have a nation that would love him and serve him. And so he decided to make a nation out of one man. And so he chose a man by the name of Abraham. And he said, "Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And Abraham, in you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed." And that's the beginning of the nation of Israel. And Joshua is reminding them, this is your history. This is where you're from. And we find that, verse 4, "And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt." Oh, those are ancestors. "And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt." Well, that's not too long ago now, because right now it's about, 440 B.C., and Moses delivered the people out of Egypt, 1400 B.C. Now, he came and delivered them out in 1446. "And I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and we came unto the sea. And the Egyptian pursued after your fathers, and with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them. and covered them. Here, this great miracle of deliverance in Egypt for the Passover, and this great deliverance at the Red Sea. I'm the God of your fathers. I'm the living God who delivered you as a nation. And he says, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand. And then he talks about Balak and Balaam. And verse 11, and he went over to Jordan and came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hands. You know, the victory, I gave it to you. Now he's rehearsing to them all this history of he was their God, they were his people, he miraculously chose them. He miraculously worked on their behalf, and he is reminding them, this is the God that you have to decide whether you're going to serve him or not. You have to decide. What are you going to do about him? Are you going to serve him or are you not going to serve him? You know, the historical a perspective. Well, that's a good reason you ought to serve the Lord. Think about all this history. Now, we'll get back there in a moment. But may we also be reminded, it's not only a historical perspective, but hidden in all of that is Jesus. Matthew 1:1, Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It was through Abraham and through Isaac and through Jacob and through Judah the Messiah was going to be brought. The Redeemer of the world. They're connected to the Savior of mankind, the Lord Jesus. This is why they ought to serve God, because he is the only Savior. He is the means of deliverance from your sins. There is no other way for the deliverance of your sins. Choose who you want. There's only one way of salvation. There's only one. There's only one Jesus. Choose who you want. There's only one Redeemer. And he's rehearsing that in their eye, in their ears. Yes, your Redeemer. And Abraham had one son. And God tested him and said, Genesis 22, go take your only son and offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Go to Mount Moriah. Of course, Mount Moriah was Mount Calvary, wasn't it? Take him to Mount Moriah and there slay him. And there we have, of course, the picture of Jesus, our substitute. And so Abraham was willing to take his only son and sacrifice him because God said so. And of course, at the very moment that he was to slay his son, Genesis 22, God says, stop, that's enough, Abraham. Now I know you love me. Now I know I can trust you. There's a ram there in the thicket. Go take that ram and offer it on the altar. And of course, the picture of Jesus, our substitute, Jesus pictured in Abraham's son, his son of promise, and we could go on. And so there's a messianic perspective. You know, serve who you want, but there's only one Savior. That's the Lord Jesus. Serve who you want. You know, you can be an atheist, there's no Savior there. You can be a Hindu, you know, there's no Savior there. You can be a Buddhist, there's no Savior there. You can be a secularist, there's no Savior there. Only one Savior. So from a messianic perspective, and within that messianic perspective, we also have that personal aspect, salvation. Salvation, well, history of salvation, a history of people being saved. I'm not sure how far we're going to go into this, but you know, there's a woman who rebelled against God. And there's a man who let her rebel against God and brought death into the human race. And God came to rescue them and said, out of you, lady, is going to come a redeemer. And he's going to bruise the head of Satan. Satan's going to bruise his heel. But through the seed of this woman, mankind is going to be delivered. And Adam's wife had her name changed from Isha to Eve. First person in the Bible had her name changed. You know why? She's born again. And Abraham, when God met him, his name was Abram. And he believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. And God says, no longer is your name going to be called Abram, but your name is going to be called Abraham. And there's a man by the name of Jacob. And he is the great ancestor of all the people of Israel. There's a man by the name of Jacob. He wrestled with God. He said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. And God said to Jacob, you've been called Jacob, but you shall be called Israel. Jacob was born again. And Nicodemus in the Bible came to Jesus, and Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, what do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. And Jesus said, I'm filling in the lines. And Jesus says, what do you mean you don't know born again? In order to get the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. What about Eve? What about Abraham? What about Jacob? What about all the Old Testament saints? They all were born again. There's only one way to heaven. That's through faith in the Lord Jesus. And Joshua's saying, you know, you can forsake this God, but this is the God of salvation. This is the God of the new birth. This is the history of the Bible. It's never been any different. Who are you going to follow? You know, there's no new birth in Buddhism. There's no new birth in Islam. There's only death. And a lot of Christian religion, there's no new birth. Just formality. Who are you going to follow? And then he goes on to say, he says, as he continues this whole history of the people of Israel, and verse 15, it says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now look at the consequences. You know, you got a choice here. Leave the God of the Bible, leave the God of history, leave the God of the new birth, leave the God of salvation. I mean, if that seems good to you, well, that's okay. But it's not. And then he goes on to say, verse 19, that Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord. Well, that's kind of shocking, isn't it? You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve other strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Now notice, Joshua is reminding them of the exclusive nature of God, the God of the Bible. The exclusive nature. It says you can't serve the Lord. You can't serve the world and serve God too. You can't serve the gods of Canaan and serve God too. You can't serve the gods of Egypt and serve God too. God is a holy God. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What fellowship hath light with darkness? None. There's no middle road with this God. There's no middle road. You can't be on both sides of the fence. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's no middle road. This is a holy God. Jesus said, enter in at the straight gate. For broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but straight is gate and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. And few there be that find it. Oh, this is an exclusive road. You can't play both sides of the fence. He says, oh, you can't serve the Lord. Kind of a facetious statement. When I kept thinking about this, the thought that kept coming in my mind was Matthew 19. When Jesus is talking about marriage. And in Matthew 19, and to make a long story short, Matthew 19, Jesus is teaching. There's no such thing as divorce. The only divorce that's allowed in the Bible is the divorce during the engagement period. And the Jews had a public ceremony for engagement and a public ceremony for the consummation of marriage. And in between that time, between the engagement and the consummation, there could be divorce. And that's what Joseph was going to do with Mary, because she saw that she was with child and she thought she committed immorality. So Jesus saying to the Jewish audience, nope, no divorce. Other places, the Bible, it makes it clear. It doesn't confuse it because it's not with Jews. So no divorce. And what did the disciples say? What did they say when Jesus said no divorce? Matthew 19:10, his disciples saying to him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. What? Did I read it right? Or did I read it wrong? My wife is smiling at me. If the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. You know what it's saying? If it's that straight, if it's that narrow, if there's no way out, oh man, better not get married. Now, obviously, that's not what the Bible's saying. And marriage is a wonderful thing. But he's saying what? Better marry the right one. You better marry the right one. You better not play with puppy love. You know what I mean? Pastor Hacks used to preach the sermon, puppy love leads to a dog's life. Don't mess around with puppy love. Don't mess around with dating. Don't mess around with the world's way. Don't do that. This serious thing. This is for life. And the disciples said, oh boy, better not get married. Well, Joshua said, you better not serve the Lord. Better not serve the Lord. No, you can't serve God. Well, it's the same kind of answer. Why? Because it's a narrow road. You can't play both sides of the fence. You can't serve God, and you can't serve other gods at the same time. And what did Jesus say? Luke chapter 14. Let's look at that verse. Luke chapter 14. What did Luke say about following Jesus? Luke 14, verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Wow, that's pretty strong language, isn't it? You know, that's the cross. That's the cross. The cross, symbol of complete self-denial. The cross, symbol of sacrifice. The symbol of surrender to the will of God. The symbol of whatever it takes. Scorn, reproach, rejection, whatever. Jesus said, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now you think about it. Jesus said, no man hath left father, mother, brother, sister, houses, land for my sake, that shall not receive a hundredfold in this life and life to come, eternal life. Wow. But he said, if you're going to follow me, you have to be willing to forsake all you have. Nothing can come between you and obeying God. That's pretty exclusive, isn't it? And so Josh said, oh, you can't serve God. He's a holy God. You can't serve him. The exclusive nature of our God. Well, it's obvious. If he's the only God, if he's the God of heaven and earth, if he's the only Savior, if he's the only way of salvation, if the Bible is the truth, there's no other way. What are your options? Isn't that amazing? What are your options? I remember coming to my parents and telling them about getting saved, and I wanted to follow the Lord. I want to be God's called me a preacher. And they basically said, can't you just kind of forget about this? Can't you just kind of forget about this? And then said, I can. How can you? He's real. Salvation's real. Can't just forget about it. It's a real thing. But that's what the world says. No, just kind of, can't you just forget about it? Well, you can't. Not if you know Jesus Christ. You know what? If you really know Jesus Christ, you can't just forget about it. You're going to tell him, oh, leave my heart. Holy Spirit, get out of there. No, he's there forever. Amen. He's there. You can't say no to him. Get out of here. I'm not going to be saved anymore. Hey, if you're saved, you're saved. Now, if you can say that to God, I'm going my own way, and Holy Spirit, get out of my life. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't think you got the real thing then. So, the exclusive nature of the Lord. Now, let's go back to Joshua quickly. Now, this is, I can't preach the whole sermon. There's so much to say here. Joshua chapter 24. And Joshua said, verse 22, and said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourself, that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. The Lord heard it. I'm going to follow God. Okay, you're going to serve the Lord? Oh, you said it. Oh, you said it? You said it to God? God's going to hold you to it. God's going to hold you to it. Amen? This isn't some flip and you can just forget about. You said it to God. You know, I mean, think about it. God says, what God joined together, let no man put asunder. You said before God, I do. Married your wife? Okay, that's it. Don't go against your word. Bible says God hateth putting away. God hates the words of treachery. It says, verse 23, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. Okay, let's do it. He is the living God. Put away all the gods. Now, you know the Old Testament story of God's mercy. God's mercy. You know, as you look at the Old Testament, you just see a testament of the wages of sin. You see a people, a world infected with sin. And you see how much the world needs Jesus. And you have a whole new perspective as we get to the New Testament. But notice, Joshua, as he is talking to the people, it says, and Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set a statute before them. But let's go back to verse 15. It says, but if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And here we have the leadership of and the example of Joshua. As for me and my house, now you can choose what you want. But I tell you what I'm going to choose. I'm going to choose to serve God. You can choose whoever you want. But let me tell you this. As for me and my house, we will serve God. You know, it wasn't maybe. It was definite. It was clear cut. You know, Josh says, whatever you're going to do, I don't care. You know, he does care what they're going to do. But he says, we're going to serve God. I'm going to serve God. My family's going to serve God. Because this is the true and the living way. We're going to serve God. You know, if you know the living God, is there anything else you could say? I mean, really, is there anything else you could say? Well, I'm going to serve God, but my wife and my kids, let them do what they want to do. Really? Really? Doesn't sound to me like you know the living God. It sounds to me like there's some kind of option, that there's some kind of choice. There's an equal path. No, there's no equal path. I'm going to serve God. My family's going to serve God. That's the only way there is. This is the right way. This is a living God. This is God of heaven. This is the path of the Savior. This is real. made all the more clear to them that this was the choice that they needed to make by his own example. You know, every dad needs to make, every dad needs to grab a hold of life. And every Christian. And get a hold of this great truth. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. That's what we're going to do. You know, I'm not going to serve God and the kids going to do what they want. You know, I'm not going to church and the kids go play ball. No way. Is that the testimony of the real God? Did you know God? Not at all. For me and my house, we're going to serve God. What a great impetus, a great example. You know, there's so many applications. You know, it's not a matter of, you know, maybe we're going to do this or maybe we're going to do that. Maybe everybody in our, you know, family's going to be in church. Maybe everybody in our family's going to live a holy. No, I tell you what, they all are. We aren't deciding. The wife isn't deciding we're going to stay home. Kids aren't going to decide we're going to stay home. No, we're going to church. We're going to serve God. You know, if he's the only God there is, and it's the truth, well, there's no options. There's no options. There's no other choice. There's no other choice. Now, if you think there's a choice between the living God and all the choices of the world, you have to ask yourself, do you really know the living God? If there's a choice between living wholeheartedly for God and living half-heartedly, do you really know the God of the Bible? Are you really on the narrow road? Have you really experienced the God in heaven? You'd never want anything less than the best for the ones that you love. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, there's a choice in life. And Josh was rehearsing to them all the reasons why they should, without hesitation, and make this decision to serve the Lord. And we're faced with that same decision today. I would have liked to take another hour and talk about our history, why we ought to serve God. I like to talk about that history of the day Macedonian man came up over to Asia Minor and said to Paul, come over and help us. And the gospel went from Asia to Europe. And today, gospel went to Europe. And because it went to Europe, it went to Great Britain. And our country, in one great sense, was founded by the peoples of Great Britain. They had the gospel. They knew salvation. They were fleeing persecution. And because of it, you know, every town in this area, almost every town in this area, the church, first church in every town in this area, in its founding was a Baptist church. Big Ben, New Berlin, Delafield, Maquonago, Honey Creek, Walworth, East Troy. Every church, every town that we're surrounding, the first church where many of these places were a Baptist church, preached the gospel. What a privilege we have this heritage. And we could go on. I don't have time to preach that great sermon about the history of our country, our presidents that have been saved, born again. Important people in our history had come to know the Lord. Talk about one out of three soldiers in the Confederate Army went home having been born again. And we could just go on. And think about our Baptist heritage. It didn't happen, you know, a couple days ago. Throughout history, there's a great historical perspective. And the new birth, what a wonderful thing. It's not something new. And, you know, you read in history, you read about how people lived a godly life. A godly life. Now, we're not about something new. We do serve a holy God. He's still a holy God. He didn't change. You know, in the Welsh Revival, when the people were afraid to go out of their houses and go to the taverns because the presence of God was there, that was a holy God. We're not making up a new God. We're not a part of this new Christianity that says it's okay to drink. It's okay to go to the bar. No. God didn't change. God's still the God of the Bible, the God of history. We have a great history behind us. And we could say so much, but we don't have time. You know, everybody has a decision to make about God. Who are you going to serve? And you know, it's not a middle-of-the-road decision. It's not a middle-of-the-road decision. It's not, you know, halfway. Serve the world and serve God? No, it's not halfway. It's all the way. There's the other half of it, the blessing. People of Israel. He says, you don't even have to take your sword out. I'm going to send the hornets in front of you. They're going to win the battle for you. The living God. We're faced with that same decision. What are we going to do with our lives? Serve Him 100%. Young person, grab a hold of this great truth. It's not by accident. It's by will. It's by decision. It's by evidence. It's by truth. And maybe tonight, the Lord is speaking to you. We had an appeal from our missionary tonight. The American dream, the souls of men. Where will you be? What will you do with your life? History is full of multitudes and multitudes who chose to serve God. History is full of people who have been born again. Their lives have been changed. They invested their life in the things of God. And their life, their family, been blessed by it. We all have those same decisions. And you know, you young people, you got that decision. You know, I remember getting saved, and one of the things on my mind said, I can't wait till I have a family and serve God with my family. I can't wait to be able to raise children for God. Can't wait. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. That's what ought to be on your heart and your mind. I can't wait to raise family for God. It won't ever happen, though, if that isn't the number one thing in your heart right now. That never happened. It just isn't magic. It's in your soul. Maybe you're here tonight and need to be saved. This isn't a new thing. I remember Mrs. Kyber's a lady who was born in our house, came to our church at 80 years of age. She got saved. And she said, Pastor Roberts, I didn't think she'd call me that. She says, Reverend, she says, is this born again new? I never heard of this before. No, I says, no, it's ever since the Bible. It's right here. Have you been born again? It's real. What a wonderful thing to know the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Will you serve the Lord? It's a decision. And you know, it's an amazing thing. God made us intellect, emotion, will. He made us with this will that even if... How old are you? 9 years old. You know what? You're saved, right? Okay? You're saved. And you know what? As a 9-year-old, you can decide that you are going to serve God your whole life. And you can mean it. And it can be real. Isn't that an amazing thing? It's not an accident. God made us that way. That we can make that choice. And that's what Josh was leading the people to make that mighty choice. What they're going to do. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are the living God. We thank you for your mercy, for your grace. We can only look back at the history of mankind. We can look at the history of our nation. We can look at our own personal history, and we can look back and see that you are a mighty God. That, Lord, that you, even though we were a people going our own way, you did not leave us alone. You sought us. You convicted us. You showed us our need. You showed us the beauty of Jesus and salvation. And we thank you, Lord, for your great grace in saving us. What is there but to serve you? What is there but to live for you? There's really nothing else. Oh God, help us, help that dear soul tonight. Grab a hold of this truth. See the God who has worked in their life and saved them, made them new. Help them, Lord, to put it all together and say, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve my God my whole life. Him and Him alone with all my heart. Lord, may this truth be made real in every heart and work in precious souls, Lord, as to what to do with Jesus and His claim on their life. And Lord, help those that are here tonight that aren't saved to help them see the God of heaven seeking after them, reaching out to their soul, wanting to save them, wanting to bring them into His family, wanting to become the center of their life and them to be the center of your purpose for them. And so, Lord, work in our hearts even now. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here and you say, you know, the Lord is speaking to me tonight. In this service, I recognize that God is speaking to me about me, maybe you and your family, but your life, and coming to grips with, hey, there's really no choice. If I'm saved, there's only one thing to do. That's to serve God completely, unreservedly, wholly. The world offers nothing. And you say, God, speak to my heart. Pastor, pray with me. God, speak to my heart about making that clear-cut decision to follow Jesus Christ 100%, to be his disciple, to follow him no matter what, to serve him with the precious gospel and with my life. And you say, Pastor, God, speak to my heart. Please pray in my heart. Pray for me. God, speak in my heart. This is the decision I need to make tonight. Anyone here? Okay, I see that hand. I see another. I see another. God, speak to my heart. Young, old, okay, praise God. Others? Yeah, God is speaking to my heart. Okay. All right. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know, something's happened. I know I don't make this decision, but oh, there's just this war over my soul. I have let the world grab a hold of my heart. And it has so grabbed a hold of my heart. It's very difficult for me to give my life to the Lord. Sin has darkened my soul. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I can sense the battle there is in my life. And I need the deliverance of the Lord so I can give myself to the Lord Jesus. Pastor, would you pray for me? Anyone here tonight? God is speaking to your heart about that. Okay. All right. Good. Yeah. Maybe you're here tonight and say, Pastor, you know what? I'm not yet born again. I need to be. I recognize my need to come to Christ. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Anyone here tonight? I'm not saved yet, but I need to be. Would you pray for me? Slipped up your hand wherever you might be. Now, Lord, we just give the invitation to you. And how you're working, Lord, we pray, we entrust you to do the work, Lord. You're a great God. And so work in these hearts and others too that need to let you have your way in their life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.